one of the things Christy and I do is we kind of have this unwritten rule of
rule strong. That's rule a strong word.
Unwritten thing where I initiate one time a
rhythm.
Week.
Rhythm. Let's call it a rhythm.
It's a good word for it.
Thank
and
you.
Rhythm. Where we both initiate at least one time a week so that there's not this sense of I'm always the one initiating sex or she's always the one initiating sex, where it's like there's this sense of like, yeah, we're going to actually, we both desire one another. And I think that's been a healthy thing for us.
It has. But it requires talking about it to come up with that plan.
You're listening to the In This Together podcast with Dr. Josh and Christy Stroud, a podcast dedicated to helping you live, love, and lead well as a spouse, a parent, and a human.
Because no matter where you're at in your journey, you're not alone. We're in this together.
Welcome back to the In This Together podcast. We are talking today from a newly renovated office that we have in our house. And
it's only taken how many years to do this?
I know, it's crazy. And we're getting there. We still need to do a few things, but it's nice to be in a place that feels warm.
Yes.
Agreed. Today we are talking about sex, marriage. And we had an episode on a few weeks ago, actually it's probably been a few months ago now, where we talked to Ryan and Laura Dobson about sex. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten a lot of questions since then about how do we actually have these conversations about sex? How do you actually talk about it in a helpful, healthy way with your spouse? And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Because so often it's just the elephant in the room. Right?
Yeah, it really is.
That's not talked about, even though it's an issue. And I think the volume is louder than we realize. We just don't address it.
Right.
So we're addressing it today.
Well, and not only that, too, one of the biggest things that we find is in families that we have the privilege of walking alongside is, and we experienced it in our own marriage. And I think it's pretty common. So it's kind of a guilt-free drop in a lot of ways, but it's easy for resentment to build up over time with the one person that you are designed and, you know, to be with and you're created. I mean, you enter into this matrimony, into this marriage, and you connect and, yes. And you love the person and you like, it's like when you get married, you're so in love and every thought is captivated by this other person. And somewhere along the way, usually post children, you know, we have this, and I think life is busy. I think our culture keeps us running frantic, and it's so easy then to have this built up resentment towards one another because you just feel like you're exhausted.
Absolutely.
And you're not able to keep up.
Yeah.
And then what happens is you stop listening to one another. You stop listening to one another's needs because we're both exhausted. We're experiencing stress at work. We're experiencing stress at home. We're experiencing stress with the kids. And guess who the one person is? We've talked about emotional safety over the last number of weeks. The one person who gets the brunt of it all is
your spouse.
Your spouse. And so that I think resentment just ends up building up because we don't have these hard conversations.
Yeah.
And here's the reality is, they don't have to be hard.
Yeah.
They become hard when we ignore them over time.
And I think that's the thing. It just grows, right? It grows into this bigger thing. And it starts to take over. And I think it really starts to cloud and color your whole relationship, right? Because the issue is never the issue, but it becomes, I'm mad at you for, I don't know, not cleaning the dishwasher or something. And it's not about that. It's that I have already this built up resentment towards you for things I've never said and things, honestly, I've probably never identified that I didn't realize I was carrying. And then it comes out for small things.
Yeah. And I think the reality with that is it's not even the, like I remember whenever we were in that season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You didn't even know that there was an issue, like with you. You didn't know what your issue was. You just knew, like you couldn't, you had a hard time putting words to it. you had a difficult time identifying it.
Absolutely. And so, like, let's talk about it. Let's put words to it. We need to talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah. And so how do we talk about this? Because, so let's come down into the husband and wife relationship.
Yeah.
Let me start by saying this. If there's deep-seated resentment in the relationship and there's emotional unsafety in the relationship, it's emotionally unsafe, it's going to be a lot more difficult to have this conversation in a way that's going to feel like you're in the same locker room, like you're connecting on the same team. And I would really encourage you to go back. If this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the wheel set and skill set, the emotionally unsafe or the emotionally safe marriage part one and part two that we just did the last 2 weeks. I would invite you to go back and listen to those two and hear this, because the reality is this: you cannot change your spouse. And the other reality is that we both have deep-seated desires and needs to connect with one another. It just looks different.
Right.
And what we do as adults and humans is we have these weird ways that we try to get our spouse to like us or to love us more by ridiculing, withdrawing, attacking, passive aggressiveness. It's like we think that those ways are going to get my spouse to be like, oh, I love you so much.
Which is like,
let's go jump in bed together.
Stop. But really, it's unconscious. I mean, we don't actually think by criticizing each other or ridiculing or attacking that we're going to get closer. But essentially, that's what we're wanting. I mean, that's essentially what we are after if we get honest. I mean, otherwise, let's be truthful. The choice is to leave the relationship. If you're at a place where there's that much, you're either in it and truly at in your core desiring to connect, or you want to leave.
Well, and let me reminds me of this study that John Gottman did, who's kind of like the quintessential marriage researcher in the world. He studied miserable marriages, and what he found was that he studied people who were miserable. I mean, you're studying marriages that are miserable, and that might be you right now. And what he found was that in 70% of miserable marriages, somebody did something to change the misery. They didn't like the misery. They either left the relationship or they chose to do something about it and change the only person that they can change, and that was themselves. So they went to therapy. They went to coaching. They did something that an intensive, a retreat to change themselves. Mm-hmm. In 30% of miserable marriages, they stayed in misery and they didn't do anything to get out of it. Why stay in misery? What's the point of staying in misery? By the way, the highest population of people that stayed in misery, the highest demographic, was basically religious. It was a religious population. I believe that it was people who believed in the covenant of marriage that are not supposed to get divorced, but they ignore what the Bible says about how we're supposed to treat our spouse, that husbands are to die for their wives.
Like that, like seriously though, that's profound.
Like that my really, the way that I'm to serve my wife, the way I'm to love my wife is to make her radiant before the Lord.
But they're upholding the covenant of marriage rather than
because God hates divorce.
Right. Rather than the truths and the love of the heart of the Father and how we're supposed to treat one another.
And I also think the Lord doesn't like when we treat one another so badly. That's not his character. His character is love. But we have so many hurts in our lives that we just... And so we start with this because I think there's a degree to which we have to break some of that down. You have to be able to break that resentment down. You have to be willing to step into it. Mm-hmm. And you have to be willing, whether that's through, like I said earlier, counseling or coaching or whatever that is, to be one of those 70%, you have to say enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Like, we are going to get help. We want an intimate marriage. And by golly, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there.
By golly,
I'm going to change myself. I need to change.
But you see that, like, there's an intention there, right? Like, they're setting an intention to change, because if you do nothing different, nothing will change.
Yeah. And so let's talk about something here. So for Christy, I know for you, right, you need to feel, and I think these are conversations. It's easy to go general and say, well, you know, a lot, you hear it said that, and I can't even remember who wrote this. But it was, you know, the phrase that guys need to have sex in order to feel connected,
to feel loved, and women need to feel loved in order to have sex.
Yeah. And that's very general. Your marriage could look different. Mm-hmm. You could look different than that, but I think you have to talk about it. And this is where we talk about the 15 minutes a day being so important. And again, if you haven't listened to previous episodes, I'd invite you to go back and listen to the ones that we've done on emotionally safe marriage. But this is where you take 15 minutes and you just talk about your emotions of the day and you connect with one another. And it has an unbelievable power, not just neurobiologically in our brains to rewire our brains, but it also does spiritually. Where Paul writes, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. There's a neurobiological component to how you are interacting with one another, and you literally have to rewire your brains. You have to change and be transformed by the renewing of your mind and how you look at your spouse. If you don't do that and you don't go there and you're not willing to go there, neurobiologically, you'll stay wired in the dance that you're caught in. And so this is where I say this all the time. In families that we coach, your willingness is everything. Mm-hmm. Sure, we're offering some, you know, some strategies and coaching strategies and things like that to help you. But at the same time too, if you are unwilling to do it and you are unwilling to do the work for you, you personally, this isn't about your spouse. This is about you being willing. Now we'll get to it in a minute where you might be willing and your spouse isn't, but because I know there's a lot of marriages stuck there, but what I'm talking to the person who has been unwilling, your willingness is everything. If you can get willingness down, boom, it's like, I'm ready to change myself.
Well, and that's just the key that unlatches the lock.
I don't know what that looks like for you. It might be that you start going online today and you say, hey, I'm going to get, Josh, help me find somebody. Can you coach us? You might go to on-site workshops and look at their coupleship program. You might go to Windshape Marriage and you might look for a marriage intensive. There are incredible resources out there for you. Just go online, start searching. We'll put Windshape in the show notes. We'll put OnSite in the show notes. We'll put our own coaching program in the show notes. We just want you to take that first step.
And just to say too, this is not a one solution fits all. There is a divine plan for you and your marriage. I believe it fully. So what is your next step? Because it's going to be different than someone else's. We can't say that OnSite or Windshape or, you know, Straubco coaching is going to be perfect for your marriage, but God knows exactly. And so, but the first step of obedience and change is setting the desire. It's stepping out and asking for help. It might be a book you read, a devotional you do. It might be spiritual direction. It might be finding a pastor, a mentor, someone to pour into you. But whatever it is, I would sit and pray on, Lord, where is my next step? Send us a message. Like, we would love to get you connected to your next step and discern what that is, because I think that is critical in and of itself. I've gone down roads before because other people have said, I loved this person, this counselor, this coach, whatever. I had great, you know, I've changed it, and that's wonderful. And then you might try that same path and it's like, it's just not connecting with me. It's like, that's just not your next step. So what's yours?
Right. That's right. And you're not going to find that step until you start stepping out and actually just searching.
And I think that's the hardest part, right? It's like going to exercise to put your shoes on.
And if I'm being very honest, there's people that I journey with where we're literally in right now helping them find someone and who is the right fit. And they're going to a person and didn't fit. So we're back to the drawing board, but that's part of the journey. Mm-hmm. Go in that journey and be willing.
And honestly, like, congratulate yourself and your spouse for doing the vulnerable, humble work of looking outside yourself for a solution, because that's where I believe the truth of God lies, is in the people he places in our path. It's in, he pours in from the outside into us, right? The word of God, there are things that we need to incorporate into our hearts and our minds that are not already there in order to be the change. Cause if you were capable of changing you or your marriage on your own, you would have done it by now.
That's a good word. So reach for that outside help. And Also, we're going to introduce you to our coaching programs because there's an opportunity to connect with us in that, and we want to introduce you to that right now. Have you ever gotten stuck in your marriage and feel like you had nobody to talk to? Or you have questions about your kids that left you worried and not sure where to turn?
So have we. And that's why we now offer individual and couples coaching to help you find joy in your marriage and confidence as a parent.
Visit thestraubco.com to schedule a free 30-minute discovery call or to sign up for one of our group coaching programs. That's thestraubco.com.
We help leaders live, love, and lead well, beginning at home.
So, Christy, what about the person who's sitting here going, I have done everything that I possibly can. My spouse is unwilling. My spouse just won't change. My spouse is, and I feel like I'm stuck in a marriage that just isn't going to get to that next level.
And how often do we hear that?
And that story. And we hear that a lot. And my I have coached families where they're individuals who are in this exact predicament. And in many situations, I would say, first thing, get yourself to counseling, get yourself to therapy, get yourself to a place where, you know, just asking yourself, and I say this as a recovering codependent myself, maybe you're in a codependent, you know, you're in a codependent relationship where you're enabling behaviors, and you need to start setting boundaries in the marriage, but you don't know what that looks like. Get to a counselor and start working through some of those things. I would also say too, that, you know, don't be a nag. Husbands, wives, it doesn't matter. Don't be someone who's ridiculing. Go back and listen to some of these episodes and listen to what it means to be emotionally safe, to sit with your spouse. Even if your spouse isn't willing to sit with you for those 15 minutes, do that with your spouse. Be that safe person for your spouse. The more safe you are, the better opportunity it is for your spouse to really start pressing into you and start feeling safe and just seeing barriers come down. And by the way, let me say this too. These types of relationships weren't born overnight. They just didn't happen overnight. They're just not going to be fixed overnight. And I think we live in a culture that believes that if I just do this one thing, this just magic bullet, that our marriage is going to be amazing again. And the reality is that's likely untrue. Now, could God do some big things? Sure. But you've got to be able to be willing to go through the process, because that's what it's about. It's about the process.
And I do think, as you're saying that, I mean, just as many hurtful words and painful conversations, and, you know, have happened. I mean, it is. It's a process of healing. It's undoing those things. It's asking for forgiveness for those things. But I'm amazed how quickly things can change when we actually acknowledge hurt and pain and resentment. Like, it's literally calling the darkness into light. And how sometimes, I mean, you look at EMDR and things where it's just a form of therapy, but it's basically lessening. So when you think of a memory and you go back to a really painful conversation, something that has caused resentment, it might be, in some examples, it's before you were married. It's things that happened when you were engaged or dating, words that were said. It's things that you've harbored and carried for all those years. But you have to go back to those places and talk about those conversations and that pain and the resentment you've carried for all this time in order to lessen its volume. So that when you can eventually go back to that memory, it's like, yeah, that stung. But man, there's a band-aid over it now. Like, I feel the healing of God. I feel the warmth of Him. I feel His movement from that place of stuckness into something new. And that's the process of healing wounds in marriage that's so powerful. And then it just is part of your story, but it's part of your redemption story.
And we see that so often, where the redemption story out of brokenness, it's beauty out of the ashes. It's beauty from ashes. That the marriages that we see on fire for the Lord today came out of some serious brokenness.
And connected.
Yeah. And
they're connected.
And doing ministry and ministering to people that are broken. So there is hope for your marriage. There is hope for your relationship. And we believe that wholeheartedly. So now let's talk about sex in the everyday marriage. apart from brokenness, just how do we get through the busyness of life to talk about sex and to have sex? By the way, you heard me say this on the other podcast. If you haven't listened to that episode, I believe sex is maybe arguably the greatest and the greatest tool of spiritual warfare that we have against the enemy.
For our marriage.
For our marriage. Yeah, for our marriage. Yeah, not outside of marriage, but that'd be, be a little weird. Yeah, in marriage. It, because here's the difficult part of that, is that the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy.
And divide.
And divide. And I think that's why Paul wrote that, I mean, it's very true that Paul wrote, like, hey, listen, don't let the marriage bed go undefiled. And also, don't let the marriage bed be left, you know, don't not have sex. Don't forsake having sex except through prayer and fasting, you know, for a time. And
which
then
I've
come
always
back.
Thought, unless I'm like, you're who not does tempted. That? Bless you if you do. But I've literally never felt like I'm going to pray and fast and restrain from having sex for that purpose. I mean, maybe people did back then.
Well, but
I don't know people.
But here's what I think the point is. It's all about connectedness. When you are fasting and praying, you are so connected with the Lord in fasting and prayer that you wouldn't, it would, in fasting and prayer, there's an unlikelihood that you would be tempted to go outside your marriage, to look at pornography, to have to be tempted by, to be pulled away from my spouse,
I
from the
get
desires
it. So it's
of
writing
my spouse.
It from that context.
So right? So I wouldn't be so tempted to pull away from, but if I'm not having sex with my wife for a long period of time.
Got it.
For many men, the mind starts to wander.
Right.
That, you know, our brains wander, the, you know, and then you start to feel, especially when you're not connecting sexually and physically, it's like, oh no, wait a second. Like the emotions follow that.
Right.
We are holistic beings.
Amen.
Like the emotions will follow that. Mm-hmm. And so you, whether you're the type of person that needs sex to feel loved or you need to feel loved to have sex, they are so intertwined and they are so interconnected that I believe it's a both and. Because when you have sex, oxytocin is released in the brain and it connects you to the person you're having sex with. And this is where pornography and other forms of sexual addiction actually hinder that oxytocin part of the brain from connection with your spouse because it's a dopamine rush.
And that's why the effect of pornography is just so devastating on a marriage because of the connection that that forms with faces and people yeah. who are not.
And I don't want to get off of pornography. I want to have this conversation as it relates, but we can have a whole other conversation on pornography and its effects. Let's get to this conversation. Like, how do we have this conversation about sex? And for us, for me and Christy, it's been a lot of years in the making. It has been a lot of understanding one another. And I would also venture to say, get the word duty out of the relationship. Like that it's a duty to do it.
That's a gross word anyway.
Because duty is like, it sounds like I'm going to like, yeah.
Sounds like the dog in the backyard.
Yeah. Go do your duty.
Go pick up your duty.
Or pick up your duty.
There That's you go. So gross. Sorry. That's just where my like grade 3 mind went.
But let's be like, there's gotta be intimate connection. There's gotta be a desire.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. See.
I'm back on duty. No, there does. And there does have to be a desire. And I know for myself, the longer it goes, the less I desire for me. I don't think that's true for you.
No, absolutely not.
I think, but it's that whole, like, I have to feel loved first. And it's like, for at least for me, if I get out of the rhythm and I'm in the routine of mothering and ministry
and life is
and
just
life,
happening.
It's almost like another hat that I forget to put on, honestly. It's like, and I don't mean that like a duty. Sorry, that's always going to make me laugh. I mean it like, it's not an obligation. It's like, it's like another part of me I'm not walking in on a daily basis. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm cleaning up toys and getting kids to places and it's like, it's like making that shift in your brain.
And then
right?
Whenever I ask for it and I get declined, then it feels tired, because usually. You're tired, then I feel rejected and I take it personally.
Totally. And I'm now, here's the thing. Now that we've had these conversations and I recognize what that does to Josh, now I carry an awareness, but also it's almost a double-edged sword, because I carry the awareness that it will come across as rejection, even though in my heart of hearts, that has nothing to do with it. But I realize it's perceived that way. So I have to be aware of myself and aware of you, that I'm not making choices that are selfish to me, but they're also not at the expense of me.
Hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, about how that's perceived by you.
Well, you carry a lot of power in that regard.
Right.
Yeah. And you can use that power to build intimacy in our marriage, or you can use that power to
divide
and take care of yourself.
Right.
And in taking care of yourself, I think until we had these conversations and you were aware of it, and taking care of yourself feels like that's the first priority, but not realizing that it would hurt me the way that it does.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And so.
So we talked a lot. I mean, even in the last episode, I feel like we talked more about women and how women approach this, but like, let's talk about from a man's perspective. Well,
okay. So you carry that type of power in our marriage. And again, right. These are conversations you have to have in your marriage, because I don't know who is carrying what type of power. Where I carry the power is my pursuit of Christy's heart. So in other words, am I planning good date nights, which I don't do a great job of, I'll be honest. So I need to do a better job of planning great date nights and wooing Christy. It really becomes about wooing her heart and getting her to a place where she comes alive. I think where I have done a good job is helping her learn how to come alive, mm-hmm. like championing your heart to find you and to find who Christy is and who God's creating Christy to be, and allowing you to pursue the Lord, to pursue your entrepreneurial spirit, all those types of things, and giving you that freedom and that freedom of time to go and find that while I stay home with the kids, also giving you the freedom to find that in throughout your day, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to pursue Christy's heart and allow her to become alive, because the more she comes alive, the more she initiates sex, which is a benefit to me, because now all
is
of a sudden,
that why you do it?
I'm getting That's connected to my wife.
I figured it
so
out.
So I'm finding my wife come alive in her passions, and my marriage is coming alive because her passions are coming alive. I mean, read the book of Song of Solomon. I mean, it's all about the passion that they have for one another is unbelievable.
Okay, so total disclaimer. This is like so real and totally honest. I've been reading Song of Solomon. Wait, when did I start? A couple weeks ago? For the very reason that I realized I was just in a season of dryness with the Word of God. Like, I was like, but I realized it's because I keep reading the same books. Like, so I'd read it and it felt familiar sort of to me. And I wasn't getting the like, and I was like, why have I not? And so I was like, I should read something I haven't read in a long
time.
There
you go.
So that's literally what I opened to. And I was like, because I think I've avoided it. It just wasn't something that like.
Sex is dirty, nasty, and ugly.
Yeah, our friend Ted Cunningham, our old pastor, used to always say, sex is dirty, nasty.
That's what the church would teach you.
Yeah, he doesn't say this. He would say that the impression, especially for someone like me who grew up within the church, you know, youth group, you know, save yourself from, you know, all this stuff, which was wonderful. Totally saved me from a ton of heart, like really thankful for it. But you can sometimes absorb the message, sex is dirty, nasty, and wrong, and you should save it for the one you love most. Right?
Love
like,
it.
It's so love true. It. And it's like, just make that
but
switch.
But those are some things we've had to overcome.
For me, absolutely. And so if you're in the spot like me, read Song of Solomon, because you're like, wow, hello.
So one of the things that Christy and I now do, even in our, so now that we have this open communication and we understand, so just speaking to the guys, we have the power to emotionally woo our wives, and we have to be that. So when I talk about 15 minutes a day, I'm talking about talking emotionally, talking about emotions, revealing your emotions to your spouse about what you're experiencing, and being willing to sit in that, being willing to sit in that her feelings, and not trying to fix it necessarily,
and not doing it for the subtle, like, we can see through you. I mean, as much as I was there joking before, right, about Josh,
you're just doing it for sex.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we can feel that from a mile away.
The goal should be to have a more intimate connection with your spouse.
It's connection.
To be known.
Absolutely.
And to be fully known and to fully know your spouse.
And I think if we can go after connection as the goal, like connection in all things, because I know that the enemy's number one agenda is to divide the marriage. Mm-hmm. Divide. Division, division, division. Where there is division, I think it's his hand at work. So if we can do all we can to war against that for connection, that means talking and communication. It means championing one another. It means being on each other's team, not being in opposing locker rooms. It means coming together, even in disagreements. There's connection. It's not the walking away and withdrawing and attacking. It's not the, you did this, you know, because of you, our kids are like this. There's blame. There's accusation. All of it divides. But if we are willing to aim for connection.
And stay in the same locker room. You're a team.
Yeah.
You are a team. And you're fighting for each other's hearts. And that is the key. Fighting for each other's hearts. And so find the time of day that's best for you guys. The other thing too that we do is we have this thing in our marriage where we, so I was going to say this too. You know how when your kids are little, you hear the phrase sleep begets sleep? Like when your kids are getting good sleep, they're going to sleep longer.
We never experienced that, but we heard that was true.
We heard that was true.
Well, lack of sleep begets lack of sleep.
Let me add a new phrase. Sex begets sex. Like when you start having sex with your spouse on a regular basis, I challenge you, have a week's worth of sex, and it will start to spiral and cycle into where you do it on a regular basis, like where it's a connection on a regular basis. One of the things Christy and I do is we kind of have this unwritten rule of
rule strong. That's rule a strong word.
Unwritten thing where I initiate one time a
rhythm.
Week.
Rhythm. Let's call it a rhythm.
It's a good word for it.
Thank you.
Rhythm. Where we both initiate at least one time a week so that there's not this sense of I'm always the one initiating sex or she's always the one initiating sex, where it's like there's this sense of like, yeah, we're going to actually, we both desire one another. And I think that's been a healthy thing for us.
It has. But it requires talking about it to come up with that plan.
Yeah.
And exactly. To both be in agreement, like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally. I remember our premarital counselors, I think I've said this on the podcast. I actually remember saying this, but I remember she said, I've never once regretted saying yes. I've only ever regretted the times I said no.
Hmm.
And I was like, wow. Yep. I remember not knowing really what that meant at the time because it was before we were married. But that was her wisdom, and I've always carried it because it kind of, like, I tossed it around in my head a lot, and I thought, is that really true? But I think we could all probably agree it's pretty
and I true. And we're speaking in relatively healthy marriages.
Yes, this is not in terms.
This is
of
not
abuse.
If you're in an abusive situation, yeah. And you go, oh yes, I'm going to give in. Yeah. You're probably going to regret giving in if you're in an abusive marriage.
That's
so
a
please
really
let's
great,
let's clarify that yeah. one. But generally speaking, if you're in a relatively healthy marriage and you say yes.
Because it's connection, right?
It's connection.
It's connection. Yep. Okay, so willingness, number one. Number two.
Well, so these are the two big things that we see in marriages that thrive is your willingness to focus on you.
Mm.
Not trying to fix your spouse, but willingness to focus on you. And then the second one is, and so we talk about the conversation here, but the last thing is this, and I really, you know, the Bible says, we mentioned this, is to go about, you know, don't let the marriage bed, you know, go cold, except by prayer and fasting. I want to say that the two biggest components of the relationships that we see change the most, that we get to serve, are the willingness to focus on myself, and number two, the power of prayer. When especially, And I don't know what this is, but especially when the man in the relationship enters into prayer, something shifts in that relationship.
Boom.
And so I want to challenge the men listening, get into prayer for your spouse, get into prayer for your family. We recommend the Ransomed Heart app. I can put that in the show notes. There's a head of household prayer that I pray and that I have every coaching client that I work with begin praying. And when we see men enter into that prayer and enter into prayer for their family and into prayer for their wives, it shifts the emotional and spiritual climate of that marriage. And it leads to deeper intimacy in every single area, emotion, spiritual, physical, the whole nine yards. So being willing to do the work, and number two, the power of prayer.
And we could talk about that very point right there for a whole podcast. But when a man steps into his role as the warrior of the family who wars on his wife's behalf, his children's behalf, it sets literally, it's like a fire. It is
for the hearts of those children and my wife.
It is so powerful, and it is the transformation. I mean, men addicted to pornography, men addicted to, like, weren't even showing up, like, only like, I'm only here for the coaching because my wife wants to do this, you know? And it's this shift that happens, and it's like they're alive and they're on fire and they're awake again.
Yeah.
And it is powerful. I mean, how many times have we said it regarding parenting? It's literally the best parenting, marriage, life. It's like, it is where we depend and gain all our wisdom, our understanding, our truth, our resolve, our courage. It's through prayer.
Yeah, because that's where the walls start crumbling down. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So those are the two big things, and we've mentioned throughout the podcast. So I would say this: your willingness to have the conversation, your willingness to enter into it, and the power of prayer. So be willing to enter into it, but be willing to enter into it in a way where you're truly listening. James 1:19, being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Usually what ends up happening is we lead. So we like to do this chair exercise where you have two chairs back to back, and in the front chair is anger. We typically lead in anger. We typically move forth in anger. And so when we're
and when he says that, he means like the things we say, the way we communicate, the way we think.
Especially when we're accused of something or... Mm-hmm. Our spouse rejects us in sex.
The anger chair. We're sitting. Anger.
And that's where that resentment piece is, right? Yeah. So it's that front chair. But behind that chair is all of the other emotion that anger is showing. Because anger is a secondary emotion. So all those emotions behind it, the sadness, the feelings of rejection, mm-hmm. the feelings of disappointment, mm-hmm. The feelings of grief, of losing the romance of the marriage, right? The feelings, we don't communicate those. What we show is our anger. And so if we can begin to communicate and put the Holy Spirit in that front chair and let the Holy Spirit drive our conversation and get into that back chair and start being willing to say, I feel sad. I feel disappointed. Then all of a sudden it changes, rather than saying, well, you do this and you say that and you do this. Mm-hmm. Allow the Holy Spirit to drive it. Start using I statements. A negative emotion about the positive of the relationship. I feel so sad because we're not connecting. And my deepest desire is to get back to where we are deeply in love like we were when we first met. Because I genuinely love you and I want to be so connected. And I'm just sad that we're not there right now. I didn't use the word you. I used the word I the entire time. An I statement with a negative emotion connected to a positive life-building statement about that marriage. That's the direction that you have these conversations in as it relates to sex, as it relates to connection, as it relates to intimacy. And if you're finding there's just too much pain in my marriage, there's too much resentment, there's too much hurt, find that counselor. Mm-hmm. We'll put them all in the show notes. Not every counselor in the United States, but or in the world, but we'll put
there's a lot of them. We'll and put there's some fabulous ones.
We'll put some links there for you.
I love it.
Leave us questions, leave us topics in thetogetherpodcast.com. We are excited and honored to journey with you throughout all of these issues, the joyful topics, the difficult topics. But let me encourage you in this. Go this week and enjoy bedroom moments with your spouse.
We love you.
check out InThisTogetherPodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us and help others learn about the podcast. You can also find us on Instagram or Facebook. And for coaching and speaking inquiries, visit our website at drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and live in the moment.